This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The voice and songs of Lady Gaga, who played in Charlottesville last night at the John Paul Jones Arena. Over 15,000 people were there to see this concert. John Whitehead is the CEO and the co-founder of the Rutherford Institute. He joins me live in studio. Now, you were not there.
Tried to get tickets.
Yes. Tried to get to see what this is all about. That's why I went. I got a press pass, and I said, I have to see for myself what is all the hype, because more and more and more at every turn, I'm hearing, oh, this is the new Madonna for the new generation.
That's
and
true. Yeah.
This is just, you know, an amazingly talented young woman who
yes,
is,
that's true.
This tour she's on is projected to gross $200 million all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Amazing product she is.
Yeah, so I wanted to see for myself. And you have recently written about her
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a commentary you can find online at Rutherford.org. It's called Lady Gaga and the Pornification of America. It's not so much an attack on Lady Gaga. My main concern after watching her videos, and if you haven't seen her videos, you should see Telephone, Bad Romance, Alejandro. If you haven't seen those, I've watched them a number of times. The problem is a number of psychologists who have studied Lady Gaga's visuals, and that's the key to the videos, little kids watching them, five-year-olds up to middle teens is the impact on children. That's what I wrote on. But, you know, mostly the psychologists are coming down on the very negative side on the videos. But I don't know. If you haven't seen Bad Romance or Alejandro, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. I've seen clips from her concerts, and they're different. The visuals are in her videos are quite stunning, and they are watched many, many times. You know, she's amazingly popular right now.
There were kids there last night.
Yeah.
Little kids.
Yes.
In their parents' arms.
Yes.
And there are people listening now who have kids who have Lady Gaga, like me, have Lady Gaga on their iPods.
Mm-hmm.
And they're listening to them quite a bit. I mean, this is a major cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, the question is, what is the impact on children? I understand adults. I mean, I can watch a Lady Gaga video and analyze it. And if you haven't seen Alejandro, you should see the video. The lyrics really make no sense, basically, but the video does. I mean, it's a very, she has upside down crosses on her crotch and arms. There's a kind of a projection of a semi-fascist state that she's in. She's in a detention center, basically, with a guy strapped to a bed. I mean, but go back. The 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids are watching these videos, and they're being told they can be like Gaga. And I mean, even saying the word Gaga seems kind of silly, but they can be like. But you can't be like Gaga, and you wouldn't want to be, because as a child, anyway, over-sexualized images for children. Again, every psychologist I've read say basically not a good idea. One study I read talks about brain mapping, how kids, their brains map at an early age, and actually over-sexualized images really halt brain development, some psychologists say.
Interesting.
So children, adults, fine. I mean, sure. I mean, adults can distinguish, but if you go on YouTube, you can see five-year-old kids, and I watched a few today dancing and watching her videos, but again, watch Bad Romance. At the end of that video, if you haven't seen it, she kills her lover or whatever on the bed with a pyrotechnic bra with fire coming out of her breast with her smoking a cigarette. They had sex. That was the thing, and she burned him alive. So what does that portray to a child? The question. And children are watching it. What I'm reading now is that up to 7 hours a day, some children are watching visuals either on their phones, computers, wherever they're getting
it. And this is certainly among the visuals that they're putting in their brains.
Exactly. And yeah. The question, what does that do to children? Well, the psychologists I read, some of them are basically freaking out over the images. And probably they should be for small children. Adults, I don't know what it does to adults. I mean, I've worked on the cultural magazine Gadfly, and I've written for entertainment magazines and studied culture. I mean, I've looked, you know, Marilyn Manson, if we remember him,
yeah,
Ozzy
yeah.
Osbourne, Alice Cooper, all those, you know, people. The difference between those folks and Gaga is her amazing popularity and impact. I mean, she, The other day I was talking to some students that I'm working with at the University of Virginia, and we were talking about Gaga, and I said, hey, and they all agreed she'll have a much bigger impact than Obama will, even if he's in 8 years.
Yeah, it's certainly in terms of reaching young people.
Exactly. So there's an excellent book that a lot of people haven't read that I encourage people to read. It's Empire of Illusion by Chris Hedges, where he goes into what I'm calling the pornification of America, but the ill effects that pornography has on people generally. But the question is, downloading it to children is the real issue. Adults, you know, you have to make a decision on what you do. I mean, I wanted to see her concert. I couldn't.
It was quite
a
spectacle. Let's bring the listeners in, 977-1070. Interested in hearing from anyone who was at this big concert last night, or your thoughts, 977-1070. We're talking with John Whitehead. Here's my question. Is this just a reaction of some old man looking at modern rock music? I mean, didn't they say the same thing about Elvis? Didn't they say the same thing about any major rock group that came along? Oh, this is dangerous. This is going to pollute the minds of our children. They burned Elvis records for this reason. I mean, they said, I'm so worried about our kids hearing this message and seeing these images. He's moving his hips. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, the Beatles, it's all the sexual innuendo in their songs. And is this just the latest manifestation of that? So we've been here, done that? Or have we progressed? Has the music and the performance progressed to the point, been pushed so far to the bounds where we're seeing things now that we truly should be worried about? This isn't just gyrating the hips. This is, you know, putting crosses in your crotch and smearing yourself with blood like I saw last night.
Or, you know, again, watching the Alejandro video, and the videos are the key. I mean, it's unfortunately, I liked Elvis, but Elvis did not have the impact in terms of the video culture, and that's the key. Technology has changed things. It's, you know, as I've argued in some of my commentaries, it's completely undermining our Constitution, technology, because with technology, with the police and the government, they can listen on your phone calls, they bypass. With technology, the way it affects people today, I mean, you're talking 5-year-old kids can download Bad Bromance, Alejandro, and they are doing it. They're watching it. So the question is, what does it do to young children right now? And I think you're right. It's like a large wave that's been building up over a period of time. I remember the Beatles being quite innocent, and then came the Rolling Stones with some really heavy sexual stuff in their songs. Was that healthy for kids to listen to? Probably not. By the time you got to the Beatles' White Album, a number of those songs from the Beatles for kids to listen to? Probably not. So my commentary is posted on Huffington Post. It got quite a few comments on Huffington Post, but mainly the comments, and they were correct. Hey, where are the parents? That's the question today, which points to another problem we're seeing.
I should say I saw a lot of parents there last night.
Yeah,
many of them with their children, their teenage girls.
Yeah, so the question is, where are the parents? 1,500 words or less. So there's just so much out there saying this is not good for children. I mean, if you just, again, go to YouTube and watch Bad Romance and Alejandro and Telephone. Tell me what you think. Should a 5-year-old be watching that?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got someone who's dressed as a prostitute, and it's the images are pornographic. Is that good for children? I mean, you have to decide. I mean, I don't think it's healthy for children. And the people that I research, the psychologists and the psychiatrists and sociologists, seem to agree. It's not good for kids. I mean, at a certain age, yeah, people have to grow up and go to the concerts are different. I know I've seen some clips from the concerts are different than the videos. You can watch the videos over and over and over and over again. And the images are pretty heavy in there. By the time you get to Alejandro and you got a woman with an upside down cross on her crotch, which looks like a phallic symbol. Obviously, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. The phone lines are
open. Should we be talking about this on the radio?
977-1070. That's a question for you. Should we be talking about this on the radio? And I will say again, what surprised me the most last night was not the concert. I sort of expected it. And I will say two things. It wasn't as over the top as I was expecting, because I didn't think it was as pornographic as Madonna was back in the mid-80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
her
Madonna
video.
Was.
That's what I keep saying. It's her videos.
Yeah. The videos are a lot more over the top and pornographic than Madonna was. But in concert, Madonna 20 years ago, 25 years ago, was much more pornographic than what I saw
last
night.
She was a trailblazer. So, I mean, obviously. And again, go back, the Stephanie Germanotta, which is Lady Gaga's real name.
That's her real name. And the Gaga name comes from Radio Gaga, from the music Queen, a Queen
that's
song.
That's one theory, but some theories think marketing agents thought it up. But who knows? Yeah. The thing is, she's very talented. There's no doubt about that. She can sing and she can dance. And her choreographer, producer, Redwood, worked with Michael Jackson. If you watch some of her dancing, it's Michael Jackson. It's very well done.
Yeah. I saw a whole, just the whole history of rock and pop on one stage.
Yeah.
I saw Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard. I saw, you know, the glam rock of Elton John and David Bowie from the 70s. I saw Devo. I saw Blondie. It was really amazing. All of the influences from the history of rock and pop that she has amalgamated into one act.
She's nothing new. The thing about Lady Gaga, though, is she has amalgamated it, and she's now has the technology at her disposal to put it everywhere. I mean, when Bad Romance premiered that video, there were so many views that her website went down. But again, if you go to YouTube, you can see five-year-old kids watching the video and dancing to it.
Yeah.
Is that what we want?
We're talking with John Whitehead. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Mike is with us. Hey, Mike, go right ahead, buddy.
Yeah, John, appreciate you and Coy. And, John, thanks for being a watchdog of decency in the community. I appreciate that. I just want to make a couple quick comments. I am a father of seven, and children watch what we do, and they listen to what we listen to. And I think the whole issue here is that parents are more concerned nowadays about being their kid's friend instead of being the parent. And there's a couple old sayings. One, sex sells, and so that's why Lady Gaga is so popular. She's touched on that. That's why Madonna was so popular. If you notice, as she got out of the 80s, she started getting raunchier and raunchier because she felt desperate. And I've seen this happen with a lot of these teen idols. We're even seeing it with some of the newer idols now that are just, they're getting real risque, Hannah Montana and those. And we've taken television out of our home because I found my daughters, especially, being glued to the television watching these programs. And I think what happens is, a lot of these things just fly below the radar. Parents aren't even there. I think a lot of parents don't even know who Lady Gaga is, and they probably realize their children are even listening to or watching her. And so I think it does fall back on the parents. I think a lot of the comments you got, John, about where are the parents, I think that's a good comment. And, you know, if we go to these concerts and we support these concerts, you know, our kids don't understand, you know, Corey, you go to the concert and you go home and tell your kids, well, I went to the concert, but you're not old enough to go to that concert. They're not going to understand that. And so I just wanted to make those comments.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you. Great call. Thanks for joining the conversation. 977-1070 is the phone number. John?
Hey, one more thing we had to talk about, too, is in the Gaga videos and a lot of the other videos I'm seeing that are coming out, a lot of violence and attended toward violence toward women. In Gaga's video, she's sold into slavery and she's abused and she ends up killing the guy. But there's a new video out last month or so called Love the Way You Lie by Eminem and Rihanna. I've watched that. If you haven't seen that, maybe you shouldn't watch it. But it's basically Eminem just beating the holy poop out of Rihanna and she's liking it. This is the woman that got abused by Chris Brown.
Yeah.
It promotes, as I'm watching it, domestic violence. So the question is, in the end, with all these violent images, and I think the gentleman just called raises a really good question, role models. What are we modeling for children? What are our so-called celebrities modeling today? There was a time, I remember, people tried to be really good role models in the sense of right and wrong and what we used to call moral values. But now, that's gone by the wayside. I mean, and the question is, do we want kids watching videos where Eminem is beating up Rihanna and she's liking it?
It really is, in a sense, I guess you could say it's a race to the gutter and they're just modeling whatever sells to the mass market.
Exactly. And it's money. It's just like Gaga's produced a whole line of corsets and the stuff that prostitutes wear that are being marketed. I mean, if you walk through the mall today, watch how young girls are dressing today. That gives you a clue.
It's very slutty, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, not all of them, not all of them, but
you can buy you can buy underwear for young girls on it with the slogan "Feeling Lucky" on it. Now you can buy pole dancing kits for 8-year-olds.
And you know what's interesting?
At Toy Story.
Last night she said when she was speaking to the crowd, and I should say it was incredibly explicit. I mean, every other word was MF-er and F-er, and you know, she's screaming "You MF-ers" at her audience, at her fans. It was very violent. There were undertones really in the live act of real violence. But she said over the course of the evening that her two truths, her two main maxims that she lived by. Number one, she hates money, which I just wondered instantly, why did you charge to get in here?
That should be free.
Yeah. And number two, she said, I hate the truth. And it was just, you know, clearly it's this young woman with an incredible platform that she doesn't really know what her message is.
I don't think she knows what her message is. If you read the Vanity Fair article that came out about a month ago, it's really confusing. At one point, she says she's taking Xanax. At another point, she's no longer taking Xanax. She's 24 years old, and she believes her press, just like a lot of other people, TV celebrities out there, whether it's Glenn Beck or whoever's out there, people are starting to believe what they say they are. But at the end of the day, we're all very, you know, You're just people. We all use the bathroom, we're not images. And little girls cannot be Lady Gaga. There is no way.
Now, what about the folks, her fans, who would say, you know, she's not promoting any of this stuff. She's not bringing it up. She's not originating it. She's just reflecting the reality of the mass market of America, and just sort of putting it in your face, showing, look what's happening to our culture. Look what's happening to our world.
Well, I would argue that she is the product. She's making an awful lot of money. She may not like the money, but who's she donating most of it to? Probably not a lot. Very, very wealthy, obviously, marketed very well, but she is the product, and I think that's what you have to look at. Is she promoting something? Obviously, yeah. I'm on the show right now, and you and I are promoting a message. You're always promoting a message. The question is, what is the message? Again, I'll go back. I think the violence probably is one of the things that troubles me the most in what I'm seeing. There's a lot of violent images in all these videos, including Gaga's. The question is why. I have some theories on that, and I've written a little bit on that. But I think we're in for some really tough times ahead. And I think for parents are going to have a very difficult, the next 20 to 30 years, parents are going to be in for some tough time.
We're talking with John Whitehead. John, can you stay around for a few minutes?
Sure.
We're going to take a break for news, and we'll talk. Continue this conversation. We'll also talk about the burning of the Quran, the latest on that with John Whitehead. Coming up, John Whitehead is live in studio, the CEO and the co-founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. Do you still want to talk about Lady Gaga some more, or should we move on?
I can move on.
Okay. The breaking news right now is that the pastor from Gainesville, Florida, Terry Jones, says he has canceled his book burnings for Saturday. He was going to burn the Quran in honor of the victims of 9/11, ironically, some of whom were American Muslims. He says he's not going to do that anymore because he says that he talked to the imam who was planning to build a mosque near Ground Zero, and they agreed to relocate it. However, the imam says, no, we're not going to relocate it. And I also just saw recently that Donald Trump offered to buy that land for 25% over the purchase price. They're just breaking that news as well. So they may decide to just sell it to Donald Trump instead of,
take the money and run.
Yeah, exactly. What were your thoughts on this? Looks like we won't have Quran burnings this Saturday, at least. Somebody else could do it another Saturday.
Well, the preparatory statement is it's his First Amendment right, as long as he stays within the burning laws, whatever those might be, to burn whatever he wants to burn on his own property. Bad idea. What I see in the United States today with the whole mosque issue is there's just a lot of hatred and fear and paranoia, and the country to me seems to be splintering. It's just no one can seem to get along. I mean, the president seems to be discombobulated. The cultural, again, I think just the Lady Gaga discussion, as a culture, we've come to sort of a breaking point, I think, and it's going to be very, very crucial the coming years. I think as I look out on the horizon, people don't think analytically very well anymore. America rates number 10, 10th in the world among industrialized nations in terms of literacy. The country's in a really, really grave situation. But it's the internal hatred that I see. Even some of the material I write, the responses I get are sometimes just so full of hate and vitriol. I didn't used to get the hate. So I think,
you know, it was interesting.
I think people feel like they're caged in now.
Yeah. Lithwick has said the same thing. You remember we were at that event last year, and Dahlia Lithwick, when you were on the panel with her, she said the same thing, that it's weird what's happening to the comments that she's getting to her articles, that some of them are just so angry and so full of hate. It's not like they want to debate the idea anymore. They just want to attack you, the messenger, for even bringing this message into the public arena.
Yeah, and I think hate's going to kill us. The thing about hate, though, and hate draws people, in some points, closer together, and I think it really can become anticlimactic. For example, Nazi Germany, a lot of hatred drew people together, and they got a bad result. I think our churches, synagogues, we've got to stop this stuff. I mean, the burning of the Korans, not a good idea. I mean, it's even consistent with the teachings of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. It doesn't make any sense. So where is that coming from? It's not anything to do with Christianity or Judaism or the Muslim faith.
And the ironic thing about it, though, is that these people think that they are more religious than anybody else.
Again, it's the divide. Yeah, exactly.
But it's an Old Testament God, not really a New Testament God.
Exactly. So I think
Jesus was the one that talked against fighting, turn the other cheek, love your enemy. Where is that? Where is that among Christians today? You know, I mean, too many times you see social conservative Christians are the ones who are, you know, the loudest to go to war. It makes no sense to me.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. I think, I'm really concerned. I mean, if you look at the young children growing up today, what kind of culture are they coming into? I mean, it's, I've been studying these problems for years. We're moving into a semi-police state, and people are so easily distracted with the entertainment stuff we've been talking about. They consume with all kinds of things. We're not being the watchdogs we should be, the media. I mean, I watched MSNBC last night, tried to, but a couple of the shows, all they could talk about was the Fox Channel. They're not reporting the news. They're attacking Glenn Beck. I mean, give me the news. What's going on around the world? What's going on in Afghanistan? Please give me the news. So our watchdogs are gone. I mean, we're in a really, really tough situation right now. And parents, I keep saying, parents are going to start teaching your kids in the home the Bill of Rights, their freedoms, and at least try to bring people together in harmony. I mean, we've lost that. I mean, the hatred I see today is, again, I think Dahlia's right. I mean, the comments I get now, it's they aim them at you as the writer. And
kill the messenger, yeah.
Yeah, and all you're doing is giving your opinion. They don't want to debate it. They want to label you as a traitor or
anti-American or pro-terrorist.
Treasonous. Yeah, I've been called committing treason, those kind of things, because you give your opinion. We used to be able to debate things, but those days are gone. I mean, but a lot of that's taught through the videos kids are watching. It's taught over television. I mean, hate's taught on the talk shows where people can't get a word out of their mouth.
Yeah.
You got six. Those are awful shows to watch. I mean, I've been invited to be on some of these shows, and I say, "Who's on?" They tell me, "I'm sorry, I won't be on." I know I can't. You're just throwing that show just to look like an idiot.
Yeah. So. Well, certainly, hate and intolerance aren't new.
No.
In America. I mean, it's you know, Jamestown, you start to see it, you know, with the reaction to the native population right away. I mean, it was, you certainly, that has been a long tradition in this country, and it sort of comes and goes. It heats and cools. And I agree. I think we're in a period now where it's dangerously hot. And I wish we had some leaders who were aware of this and wanted to address it, but they seem to only want to profit by it.
Well, it's just like we were talking in the break. I think Barack Obama had an amazing opportunity to bring the country somewhat together, and he didn't do that. And I didn't see him trying to do that, which always blew my mind.
And George Bush as well, after 9/11, you know, and they both blew their opportunities.
They both blew their opportunities. But after he was elected, I wrote a commentary saying Barack Obama has a chance to do what some great men do, and that's bring people together. And all of a sudden, we run all these divisive issues, which, again, healthcare, which I'm not opposed to, but if he'd have waited a year on it and just went out and traveled the country and worked to get the country back together, but it was an immediate divisive issue. It created the Tea Party. I mean, it was amazing. It was like he was promoting.
Yeah. Well, and Clinton did the same thing. I mean, the first Clinton initiative was, don't ask, don't tell in the military. I mean, you can't pick anything more divisive than that, and the country arguably wasn't ready for it then in the early 90s.
Yeah, so there was a time when there were people that you could look to for hope. I don't see many people today you can look for. Entertainers, I mean, you mentioned the Beatles. When the Beatles generation, it was amazing to have people singing about peace, love, and harmony. Who's singing about that today? I mean, most rap videos I hear, pretty tough stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they're women on leashes. There's one video I was watching, I think it was by 50 Cent. He has a woman on a leash.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. Let's bring the listeners in at 977-1070. Wayne is with us. Wayne, go right ahead, buddy.
Hey, I just have really just a comment. I've been listening for the past 5 or 10 minutes since you switched off of the Lady Gaga topic. And, John, I've heard you mention, refer to President Obama and MSNBC, one a Democrat and the other, which is the only progressive voice in the media these days, and implying that they're to blame for this.
No, I'm not doing that. And have not mentioned
Fox.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not.
And
no. You're missing the point.
Said, no, I don't think I missed the point.
Yeah.
I'm just, that's.
I watch MSNBC. That was the point. I was just last night.
Right,
I couldn't get the news.
I watch both MSNBC and Fox as well. And if you want analysis, you'll find much more on MSNBC than you'll find on Fox. Rachel Maddow brings on Dick Armey and various voices from the right, and these are voices that speak for many on the right.
Sure.
And you rarely see that on Fox. They have Juan Williams.
I don't watch much of them, so you're ahead of me, dude.
Yeah, I am. And that's my comment. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. There you go. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it. 977-1070 is the phone number. John, you were talking about when the Beatles were, at their heyday. There truly was this sense of hope, and you can call it whatever cultural movement you want to call it, the hippie movement or whatever. But the fact I'm trying to make is that this sense of hope and optimism was a very real thing. It wasn't invented. It was very, very real. And you had
it brought the Vietnam War to a halt. Yes.
Eventually.
That's how powerful it was, yes.
Yeah. But I'm thinking of, when one of the symbols of that whole movement was, I'm thinking of when Hunter S. Thompson ran for the sheriff in Aspen in 1970, and he lost, barely lost. I mean, it was just a few hundred votes out of a few thousand cast. And at that night when he stood up and said, Hunter S. Thompson, gonzo journalist, who committed suicide in the past year or two, but...
Yeah.
He said, the American dream is dead. He said, we had all this hope, and I proved tonight that the American dream is dead. Was that just a natural fallout from, or is that hope still alive, I guess is what I'm trying to get at?
Depends on what you see as the American dream. I don't see it as owning a home, no, which a lot, or materialism. I see, it was always hope and optimism. The American dream was born in the American Revolution. It was for a free country where people could say what they wanted to say, where you could prosper. But today, that's very, very difficult. I mean, the homeless population is growing at an amazing rate. 14 million kids go to bed hungry every night in the United States. Food stamps more and more people are on food stamps. It's going out of the roof. So that part of the dream is lost. Yeah. Do I think people have equal opportunity in America? No, I disagree with that. I think there are a certain large class of Americans that don't have a lot of hope except to live in a rented apartment for the rest of their life and be on food stamps. I don't see our political leaders. And again, I wasn't attacking Obama. I was just pointing it out. He hasn't done very well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, even the Democrats, when Jim Carville comes out and criticizes Obama, he's in trouble. But the point is that, where are we striving to do that? Why aren't our local communities working to do that? Get rid of poverty and the homelessness and the thing. So that was the American dream, I think. Yeah. Has it been lost? basically so. If our American dream is to go to a Lady Gaga concert, then I think we're in deep trouble.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, and the phone lines are open. Let's bring the listeners in now, 977-1070. Kelly's with us. Kelly, thanks for the call. You go right ahead.
Hi, I've just been listening for a little while, and I'm enjoying the conversation, but I have a comment. I don't see how we're going to get straight until people start taking responsibility for their behavior. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. People, how about not just people? How about organizations as well? How about governments and corporations to set the standard and really show people? But I agree with you. It begins personally, but I think we should call upon organizations as well, big business and government, both to start accepting responsibility.
Yeah, I agree, and I do see every day people are so angry, and I can't quite put my finger on it. But I think that And also, I think sometimes all this anger dilutes the real problems, and so we don't see, I don't know how to explain it, but there are people who are truly unfortunate who don't take advantage of the system, but unfortunately there are people that do, so they take away from the people that really need help, if that makes any sense, and people are just so mad all the time, and I don't know. I can't figure it out. It's weird, but anyway.
Thanks for the call, Kelly. I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you so much, John.
Listen, when I drive around Charlottesville, there are parts of Charlottesville when I'm driving by and I've talked to people about it, I look and I can see what we call the poor areas. And I see the people and I wonder, you know, I just, how are they going to make it, you know, in today? And we talk about Hunter's the American dream, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's one thing. I think again, I'll emphasize, I think that there is a segment of the population where it's very, very difficult for them to ever realize what, educational levels, whatever. Now, I don't think the public schools are doing them a lot of favors. Responsibility, yeah, I think we have a lot of the irresponsible corporations, and going back to, should corporations sell underwear for seven-year-olds that say feeling lucky? Should they do that? Obviously not. No. So again, it's just, that's irresponsible. So a lot of the things we're seeing are irresponsible, but as long as we let them happen, you know, that's why I do a weekly commentary, is to comment on this kind of stuff. Someone's got to say it and get out there. I mean, all I could read about Lady Gaga is how great she was, basically, from pop media people. But the more I studied her, I said, well, what about the impact on children? Someone has to say that. And I've got some negative feedback on that, but I think someone had to say it. But again, I think, you know, your next door neighbor, the homeless situation in this town, there's a lot of homeless people walking around the streets. You see them all the time.
Yeah, we got one in four people who call Charlottesville home live in poverty. One in four.
Yeah. And so what are we doing about it in this town? Exactly. What are we doing? So, I mean, our churches, synagogues, mosques, whatever, what are we doing about it? I mean, people go to church, they're very comfortable, and I know a lot of them. And I ask them, I say, do you ever invite homeless people to your church? They look at me like I'm crazy. So there's a lot of things people can do today, but we have to do it. And I think really key is you just have to stand up and talk about it. And, you know, thank God for the callers that call tonight. You know, at least they're willing to call in. They don't have to agree, but we have to get out there and talk about it and dialogue about it. And if we don't like our political leaders, let's find some people with some backbone and elect them. That's what we need. We just need some people with backbone, whether they're right wing or left wing at this point in time. And who want to bring this country together and work together as a community?
And right or left, I've never cared as long as you believe in the ideals in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And too much we have leaders who believe in the government. And as far as I'm concerned, both sides want big government. I mean, the right says that they don't. But they do. It's just they define it differently.
They define it differently.
You know, I mean, you can say you're against regulation and you want to leave business alone, but then that means you're for creating laws and creating a government that makes the world safe for corporations to do whatever the hell they want to do. And so it's just, you redefine government. It's still big. George Bush grew the government bigger than any Democratic president ever has.
Any Republican president.
Yeah. So I just think we need a patriotism that's about the Constitution and about the Declaration of Independence.
Instead about freedom.
Instead of a nationalism that is about the government.
And equal opportunity, yes.
Yeah. Before I let you go, you spoke out recently about some meetings in the local meetings about local government, which this dovetails very nicely with that idea in, you know, having a government that we can be proud of and that we can all agree works like we want it to work.
Yeah. You know, they've closed meetings in this town, Board of Supervisors. So I wrote a letter to the supervisors and objected to it, and it got in the newspaper today. And I've gotten, you know, some positive feedback from community members, and a few of the board supervisors didn't like it, of course. But I think what I keep emphasizing with local leaders, and especially local leaders, and I always tell people this, if you want to have an impact, you can have it at the local level. That's where you can have it, local government. But we need our local leaders to be really transparent. We don't need them going off in twos and doing little meetings and coming back and giving us prepared statements. We need to have open meetings where we can challenge. I mean, that's what the First Amendment allows. The Freedom of Information Act requires us to have open meetings.
And so, what you're referring to is the fact that local government officials, as long as there's not more than two of them in a meeting, they can meet privately. And so that's what they do, is their staff arranges a series of meetings for just two of them so that they can be held in secret.
Yeah, and one of the leaders actually said it was to, you know, basically keep the press out, which again, the press has a right to. We want the press reporting on all this stuff. We don't want any kind of secret proceedings or whatever. And I'm not saying they're doing anything like evil or anything, but I think my job as a civil libertarian is to call that into question and say, let's have total transparency. Let's see you. You know, the ruler should have no clothes. I want you out there to see you. I don't want you preparing a statement for me. I want you to do it at the meeting so we can all debate it and decide. That's we the people. So it's government in this country was meant to be bottom up, not top down. So, but again, you have to get out there and really.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I actually waited a week hoping they would just go ahead and change the policy after it hit the Daily Progress, but they didn't. So I wrote a letter. But why didn't more people cry out about that? I don't understand why people would
I'll bet you a lot of people don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
But so. you do have local government. I mean, it's government in your neighborhood. It's the government you can touch. It's right there.
Exactly.
Where and
can it, have
it's
biggest
the closest
impact.
To your home, and they're going around the laws so they can have secret meetings.
But again, I go back and say this. If you
or
want,
they're abiding the law, I should say, so that they can have the secret meetings. They're not breaking the law, but you know, it's an excellent point. I've always had a problem with that. It never made sense to me.
Very difficult to affect national government, but you can affect local government. And that's what America was meant to be. When de Tocqueville came over here and wrote his Democracy in America treatise, that's what he said. America's ruled locally. He thought that was so cool and so neat, and it was way of... But we've lost that. We think the answer's in Washington, D.C., but folks, we're finding out they're not. So we want our government to be transparent, and we want to show up at the meetings. So, and again, I was the one that wrote the letter to Tom Perriello saying, do away with the sign ban, let them have signs. Not that I'm against Tom Perriello, but I want free speech. I want people to be able to give their message to the representative.
And we should know
what's going on
in our local government.
Yes.
John Whitehead, he's the co-founder and the CEO at the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. Thank you, John, so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.